Shut your mouth.
That if you're looking for the best wrestling content and the best interviews on all of YouTube and in anywhere where you can listen to this, you need to listen to Generation of Wrestling.
Going try your luck, test me in again, we let it rain. Please don't start us up, got that black and white, that yin and yang. Mr. Officer, please don't search us, we don't got a thing. Tell her park it up, then I'd be poking out them jeans. I've been sparking up, let the fireworks, I keep the flame. Heard you parking up, it's the wrong tree, I got the strings. See, I'm charging up, they can't keep up, got them looking drained. Now they walking up, trying to put the face to the name.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of Generation Wrestling Podcast. As always, you're truly the franchise. With me, as always, I have my tag team partner, my brother, my family. Here's the flash in the room, Mr. 1, 2, 3, pin that ass down, K Breezy, aka EC's resident Isaac Hayes, King Tuco. Bro, how you doing?
Man, I'm good, man. I'm good, but I'm excited, man, because today we have been waiting to talk to this gentleman, and I'm excited to talk to him. So let's go ahead and introduce him.
And introducing him, he is a multi-time and your current TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Moose. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Brother, appreciate you. Thank you for taking the time to come on. Man, we've been trying to, you know, get you for the last year and a half, man. So to have you on, man, it's an honor. But let's get right into it. So this Friday, March 22nd, this Saturday, March 23rd, TNA will be headed to Philadelphia, emanating live from the 2300 Arena, formerly known as the ECW Arena. Moose, a Philly man, outside of just wrestling. Sports fans in that town, they go crazy, they go hard, they know to go a little bit against the grain. Are you excited, man? Any favorite memories from Philly, whether it's being a pro football player or, you know, being a wrestler?
I'm excited to be in town. There's always a special feeling when you get to work and wrestle in the ECW arena, a prestigious building that legends paved the way for us to perform in that building. So there's definitely an excitement that it comes with. Really, I'm not a guy that holds on memories from Philly. I actually was reminded about this early in the podcast that I did about the last time I was here, Josh did his finisher on the table to me. So that's probably the one that sticks out the most.
King.
Sir, with the illustrious career that you've had both on the gridiron and the football field and here in wrestling, for you to be someone who comes from football to wrestling, a lot of guys don't transition. A lot of guys don't pick it up. A lot of guys don't really become big names. You, yourself, you put in the hard work, you become a name. What was it for you to transition? To transition from football to wrestling and to be as good as you are? And also, who are some of the people that might have helped you become as great as you are?
The transition was fairly easy just because I have an idea that when you have passion for something and you love doing something, whatever transition that comes with is going to come easy because you're actually passionate about what you're trying to get done. So the transition to pro wrestling was quite easy because I loved going to practice every day. And as to who helped me get to where I'm at today, I mean, there's a lot of names that go on that list. I'm probably going to miss some. Scott D'Amore is definitely one of them. Some of the guys that I got to share locker rooms with, guys like Eddie and Jay Lethal and the Briscoes, Adam Coles, and then you talk about guys that I've got to wrestle, like Kenny Omega and Okada. The thing is, I'm one of those guys that every time I wrestle a guy that is a bigger star than me or a bigger name than me, I always try to learn something from that match, something that he does that I don't do. I'm missing a bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? I have best friends that work in other companies that definitely their friendship and their knowledge helped me get to where I'm at. So it's so many people, and I'm sure I missed names of pivotal guys who played pivotal roles and to get me to where I'm at. But
okay, so you talk about people in other companies, and it's funny because we see the tribalism, right? You know, AEW, WWE, TNA. But the funny thing is, when you look at a lot of you guys on social media, a lot of you guys train together, a lot of you guys actually hang out, and I think people fail to realize, you know, it's professional wrestling, but you guys and girls are all human beings, are all friends in real life. What do you think the biggest misconception is out there about pro wrestling or just being a pro wrestler, period?
The biggest misconception, that is easy, I guess. Mm-hmm. That's probably the big one. A lot of people think that anybody could do it. And to get to a certain level and to perform in the highest level, you have to be the best of the best. And that's not easy to do. But I think the biggest misconception is anybody could do it.
Speaking of thinking it's easy, can you explain the difference to somebody who doesn't know the difference between being in peak physical condition and being in actual good ring shape? Because I think a lot of people think, oh, this person's jacked or this person's this and they're that, that translates to being in good ring shape. Can you explain what the difference is and the intensity of the workout?
It's not even in ring shape. It's just being good at wrestling. Like, I have a big, for instance, fans think certain guys, I'm not going to say any name because this is not a call-out show, but fans think there are certain names who are big names are good at wrestling.
Yeah.
And in my book, I don't think some of these guys are good at wrestling. And I think to get to a point where you're considered really good at wrestling, that's very hard. And there's a lot of people who have huge names and have big names that are considered by the fans as really good wrestlers. But to me, I think, okay, they're not really good wrestlers because they don't do some of the little things that qualify you to be a very good wrestler. And I think that's the misconception that, for at least for me, about wrestling, that anybody's labeled really good because they have a big name. And that's, for me, that's not it.
Speaking of names, you're fighting Nick at the pay-per-view. For him to be someone who you know has a qualification, like you say, some people, you know, people think they can wrestle. We know this man has a wrestling background. We know what he can do in the ring. So with him being the champion and the caliber of a professional that he is, and for you to go up against another top-tier guy, you, like you said, you faced the Omegas and the Okadas, and you beat Alex Shelley and all these other guys. For you to face a guy like Nick, what is your preparation for him? Because you know he can bring a little bit of everything. So when you have someone like him, what is that mindset for you preparing for your fight?
I prepare for everybody the exact same, man. I go in just I go to each match with the same preparation. I don't think each opponent brings a different kind of preparation. I worry about what I bring to the table, what I can do, what I could help to make the match better. You know what I'm saying? And if he does the same thing, then it equals a great match. But as in preparation, I mean, my preparation stays the same. Like, I'm always grinding. I'm always working out. I'm always eating healthy. I'm always watching wrestling, studying film, trying to better myself. So and it doesn't matter if I'm wrestling Nick or if I'm wrestling a local hero at an indie show. I bring the same preparation.
You talk about there being a difference between having a big name in wrestling and being a good professional wrestler. I've seen a body transformation from 2012 till now, much like Jordynne Grace. Same thing. That's another TNA star who's really transformed her body. I listened to a podcast and you said, you know, that you received a pic from Scott D'Amore of how you used to look, and that really motivated you and get into the mind frame you're in now, especially peak physical shape. You looked at guys like Triple H. My thing is now, I think you are one of the top wrestlers currently, not even just in TNA, in the world. For you, when did you really realize, okay, look, I'm really starting to master this craft here and really looked at yourself as a top guy?
I think it was probably right before COVID or maybe during COVID when I knew I was like, okay, I got the in-ring part down.
Yeah.
I'm good at doing promos. What is holding me back from taking the next step to being to taking the next step? And I thought about what some of my favorite wrestlers when I was younger looked like, and they all was in great shape. And I felt like that was one thing I was lacking was the stature to go with my in-ring work and my appearance was how I look body-wise. So I took that COVID break that we had to get in good shape, work on my diet, work my ass off, and get lean. And I think that changed a lot because that's when the titles started coming. I started winning titles. I started getting recognition. As being a really good in-ring performer once I changed how I look.
Okay. With you being in TNA for the past few years and you, like you say, your elevation as far as your body, you know, the way you work in the ring, your opportunities that you get, when you look at your time in TNA, what is some of the things that's going to stand out for you when as far as the opponent or something that you did, like what is the thing that you appreciate the most about this company and what they've done for you?
They always put me in a good situation to show my talents. I've always been put in a good situation where I was used. I never had to complain about being on TV. I never had to complain about being in a future match or a future angle. They always gave me. They always provided me with that. So. I never had to worry about sitting on the sidelines and just watching the show. I was always on the show.
Okay. So speaking of always being on the show, I want to talk to you about the Palms, man, because you guys, man, 420, you guys got TNA Rebellion coming up at the Palms, going to face the IWGP Global Champion Nick Nemeth. You guys got a world title. But I want to talk to you guys about that venue specifically, because lately we've been running that a lot, and you guys have been doing great, great shows. What are your personal opinions on that venue, and what are some of your favorite venues you like to wrestle at?
Favorite venues to wrestle. I really don't pay attention to my favorite venues, to be honest. I do know I like wrestling in the city of Vegas just because it's Vegas and there's usually things to do afterwards, right? Favorite venues, I couldn't answer that question. But yeah, I couldn't tell you a favorite venue because honestly, they all look the same once you get out there. I love Vegas because Vegas has so much to do with the shows, and nightlife and food and
How has being a professional football player, do you think, how has that molded you into the professional wrestler you are now? My co-host here said, you know, that you look at other people who come from other sports, UFC, MMA, some boxer, some gymnast, but not everybody's been able to make that transition. What do you think it is about pro football that's allowed guys such as yourself, Ernie Ladd, Ron Simmons, Hell Baron Corbin, to really transition and become top stars in this business?
I would guess. I don't think it's a sport that makes you transition well. I think is the love and passion you have for wrestling. I think it's just ironic that we all were football players, but I think I don't know all those guys personally. I think the closest one I know in a personal level is probably Baron Corbin. And I think one thing we all have in common is we all have some kind of passion for wrestling. We all watched this as a kid, and we just all happen to play football. But I don't think there's a thing between football players make good wrestlers. I think it's more of if you have passion for wrestling. Because at the end of the day, you could be the most athletic guy in the world. If you have no passion for wrestling, you're not going to want to be a wrestler.
True. With the evolution of wrestling that it has been for the last few years, who are some of the people right now in TNA that you see that right now you see future matches with? Like, who are some of the young talent that you see coming up that you're like, hey man, that kid right there or that lady right there, they're gonna do something special, and I wouldn't mind working something with them. Just to name a few.
I mean, we have a stacked roster. I mean, I got, just so I don't leave anybody out, and because answering that question would be an insult to the people I don't name. So just anybody that steps up, man, I would love to do something with. Just, we have a stacked roster filled with girls and guys, and in the guy side, whoever steps up, I'm happy to have a match with them. And I'm one of those guys, I feel like I have a great match with anybody. I could have an entertaining match with anybody. So whoever steps up.
Awesome. Just one other question. What is next for Moose? I'm maybe, you know, pushing it forward, but what is the next thing for Moose after wrestling? What is that thing that when you are ready and you're ready to transition to something else, what is that next thing for you that you're looking forward to?
I think I'm one of those guys, like, I'm even thinking about this now. Like, I've been thinking about this, talking about it with my wife, for life after wrestling. I think I want to do something that's involved in wrestling, because I'm one of those guys. I love wrestling. I've always loved wrestling. I felt in love with wrestling when I was 8 years old. So once I'm done, in my in-ring career, I would like to continue to do something with wrestling. If it's a writer or agenting or producing, or, you know what I'm saying, in-show act or something. I would love to continue my wrestling career in that aspect once my in-ring career is over with.
Speaking of in-ring, and you talked about the roster, we got new additions, not limited to, but some, you know, asked by Elegance, Nick Nemeth, Mustafa Ali, AJ Francis, as a world champion now and previous world champion, but just as a top guy in the company. Are you made privy to, you know, the possible signings or future signings of top talent like this or new incoming talent? Or are you genuinely surprised like the rest of us? You know, do you guys find out at the last second too? What are some of the dynamics between that when you guys are talking about adding to the current roster?
I mean, sometimes we know just from word of mouth, rumors in the locker room, but sometimes it's also a surprise. But it's 50-50. It depends on how secretive they want to make it. Yeah, but it's 50-50. Sometimes we know about it, and sometimes it's a huge secret.
Okay. I don't really have more of a last question. I just wanted to say it's an honor to really see someone like you who, you know, you come from one thing and you do something else that you, like you say, you have that passion for. And I honestly, since I've seen your entrance, just the way you present yourself, the way you move in the ring, you've seen that evolution of it. And I just want to give you your flowers that it is most definitely seen and appreciative every time that I see it. So it's just more of just thank you, you know, for you being you and doing what you do, because you do a damn hell of a job of it.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, like we said earlier, we're not gonna hold you up. We know you got a lot of media to do, but right. Moose, wanted to again thank you for coming on the show. Again, congratulations on your world title win. You got this whole thing.
Congratulations on the future win that you're about to have.
I was just about to say, against Dolph Ziggler, and it pains me a little bit because, you know, he's a Cleveland boy. We some Cleveland boys, but you know what? We got to rock with the culture one time. So, you know, 420 TNA Rebellion at the Palms in Vegas, we got Moose versus the Wanted Man, Nick Nemeth. Also coming up, like I said, this Friday and Saturday in Philadelphia at the 2300 Arena, we got TNA coming to you live and direct. And, of course, we got Nick Nemeth. He is going to be fighting as well. So, before we get out of here, I know I got it at the bottom of the screen, but Moose, where can people find you and how can people get tickets for the shows?
You can get tickets for the shows from TNAWrestling.com, and my socials is Twitter /X is The Moose Nation, and Instagram is Moose Nation 69.
All right. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning in to another episode of the Generation Wrestling Podcast. I'm the franchise. He's the king. And he is your TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Moose. Moose, thanks, brother.
Appreciate it, man.